you served 8 terms on Burnaby Council, mm-hmm. from your election in 1983 to 2008. Mm-hmm. What sparked your interest in running for council in 1983?
I came from, I would say, a classic East Vancouver family. We always talk politics at our family gatherings. My uncle was a fellow named Harry Rankin, and he not only was a lawyer, he was a war veteran, a lawyer. I think he served 25 years on Vancouver City Council. He was a lawyer and a QC, Queen's Counsel, he was an advocate for social justice, and I think that in the back of my mind, that kind of inspired me to go into both politics and law, right?
Yes.
And, you know, again, you know, we go to these extended family functions and people always talk politics.
Yes. What kept you interested in serving on council for the next 22 years?
I actually served from 1983 to 1999. I was off for 3 years, and then I was on from 02 to 08, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
It was interesting. My interests, I like community planning. Community building, community planning. I was interested in affordable housing. I was interested in the environment, and there were many things that could be done on the way. We, when the province wanted to redevelop the Ocala prison site, we negotiated with the province and to ensure there was an affordable housing component there. When the federal government redeveloped the George Derby lands that they owned, Veterans Hospital and other lands, we made sure that there was an affordable housing component. Land exchanges, SFU Burnaby is the big one, but when the school board wanted to replace the old Burnaby South School, it was run down, a new site, a better site. They found a site, and they didn't have enough land for it, so I engineered a land swap between the city and the school board, and where we acquired some school board sites and provided money, because they didn't have money on their own, so that they could build the new Burnaby South school. And at the old Burnaby South site, we allowed some rezonings to make that happen. That was actually kind of the kernel of doing these kind of deals that actually got the little light bulb going on the SFU Burnaby agreement, because it was the agreement with the school board turned into a win-win. We picked up some valuable community center space, or space for the city uses, and the school board got revenue from us through land sales to get a site big enough and where they needed to have it to build their dream school, right?
I see.
That was a negotiation between us and the school board.
What year would that have been?
Late 80s, I think.
80s.
It was.
Okay.
It was before the SFU.
Right. Thing.
But I was centrally involved with that, me and then Councillor Drummond. And we worked very hard again. And again, I think it was with Jack Bellhouse and Basil Luxem, if you talk to them about it, a creative solution that allowed the school board to do what they needed to do. And the city got some prime sites that are really useful for future purposes. And we gave the school board on their own land the right to develop some high-density residential so they could get money to help build a new school, right? So.
Yes. Oh, that's... Yes. Oh, thank you. That's interesting background. One of the things that you are particularly proud about achieving as a city councillor is the negotiated resolution of the long-standing tension between SFU and the city over land ownership and land use on Burnaby Mountain. And you've already kind of described the origins of that dispute. Do you want to add anything about the origins of that dispute?
Well, as it when the university, and again, you'll, you're aware of it, and you'll see it mapped out in detail in the Curie document and in the Curie thesis. University, as I understood it, and we understood council, they took the position once that the land had been transferred to university, it was theirs to do whatever they wanted to do mm-hmm. for university purposes. And their position, and their lawyers told them that you're fall under the Universities Act, and you can do whatever is allowed under the Universities Act. You're not subject to municipal zoning or bylaws, right? But there's an obvious issue when you have a university that needs road connections, electricity, wire services. I mean, it can't issue and operate in a vacuum. So what the university understood was doing, anytime they wanted to build a new structure up there or, and they didn't, obviously, you know, they don't have the expertise to know if about plan checking and stuff like that. So they actually would send to the city development permit applications if they had to do in a new addition or anything. They'd send them in, accompanied by a long legal disclaimer from their legal advisor saying, we are doing this as a courtesy, yes. That we are not legally obligated to do that. Apparently every single development permit application to do something up there had this, we're doing this, but we don't have to, right?
But did that mean then that the city planners then would look over
the document? Yeah,
okay.
They did, and they would approve and give input. But the university still had this long legalese saying,
yes.
We're doing this, but we're not legally obligated to do this.
You know, there's actually an interesting example when they went through the rezoning process in 1980 for the Discovery Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so there had to be public hearings because it was a rezoning application. And in the public hearings, there's a wonderful quote from the chairman of SFU board, Dr. Ray Parkinson's presentation at the public hearing. So this is from the public hearing. Dr. Parkinson stated that the land in question is already within the domain of the university, and as such, the university has a fairly free rein with respect to which direction it goes in developing the land. But, as good corporate citizens, it behooves the board of directors and the university to work with the municipality in order to meet the needs of the community and its citizens. Isn't that one? Yeah, that's just wonderful.
That's a nutshell, isn't it? Right. And that was, I was elected in 1983, so that was just before that, and I was very much aware that the Minister of Advanced Education, University, I don't know the name, Dr. Pat McGeer,
okay.
A neurosurgeon at UBC, a very brilliant man. He came up with the ideas of the Discovery Parks, one at UBC, next to BCIT, and that one. And that brought to the attention, came to this kind of city's knowledge. Well, universities, this little crown on the top of them, this little confined thing within the roads. And then suddenly, the province wanted it, so naturally the universities were going to get in line. And they say, well, wait a minute, there's this whole development, we don't know what's going on there. And they're just doing it, because it's kind of away from the university, in a separate access. And it was then it started people thinking, well, if they can develop there, they can put a project there, And the universities, when the Minister of Advanced Education comes and says, I want this to happen, they're going to fall in line, right? Which they all did, right? So I think that kind of underscored the fact that this was their land, and government policy may change from time to time. When you go back and do your, if you haven't already stumbled on it, I read somewhere when somebody was talking about Arthur Erickson and the plan for the university, somebody actually thought about Burning Man Mountain being covered with villas, like an Italian hillside. I don't know who the reference is.
Well, there actually was a master plan done in conjunction both with City of Vancouver and City Burnaby. It's the Simon Fraser Townsite Master Plan. There it is.
Okay, and, good. So you're at
the end. What's interesting about it is that the parkland is preserved. There's a lovely map in here.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah. But the interesting thing is that they were going to put the node for this town center right where kind of Forest Grove is now.
Of
course, now is Lougheed Center, which is further down the mountain. But they recognized the problem of isolation on the mountain. Mm. And there,
So that the interesting thing about that is showed that who knows what would happen in the future, because provincial governments, city governments change,